face when I'm with you. But I love it, but I love it. Oh, I can feel my face when I'm with you. But I love it, but I love it. Oh, and I know she'll be.
This morning with Stacey Brotzel and Daryl McIntyre on 630 CHED, supported by Abe's Door Service, with 24/7 emergency service where you speak to an actual person. Visit abesdoor.ca.
Yes, I know.
Hey, Daryl.
Yes.
Do you know that when you sweat, it is fat crying?
Yes.
Oh,
cry, you little globules. I shall beat you out of me.
Why don't you like me, says the fat to your body. I think I've never heard that before.
Are you kidding? That fat's been hanging out on my butt couch for a long time. Well, so no, obviously I like it a lot. So I'm going with.
We're busting myths, apparently.
Oh, that's where we're going.
When you get to a sweaty state, it doesn't mean that you're burning more fat than if you were, like, still smelling fresh.
If I lift weights, will I be like the Hulk, even if I'm a 105-pound female? Nah, well, let's find out.
Yeah.
Let's find out how the myths.
You
made a good point as we're heading into this. We are not far away from New Year's resolutions.
I know.
And that's when so many people go diving into fitness and maybe dive into too many of these myths. So let's debunk or confirm some. Shara Vigeant is from SVPT Fitness, a regular visit. Nice to have you here. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Again.
Again. What's your favorite ridiculous myth? And I'm not saying that you love it, but the one that kind of goes, you both laugh and shake your head at the and be astonished over.
Oh, there's so many because they're so still many. Around after 20 some years of doing this. And it just, it's so frustrating. I would say my top two are lifting weights makes you bulky and sweat is fat crying.
All right, let's
or sweating is burning fat, making you burn more fat.
Yeah. All right, let's unpack both of those then.
Okay, so lifting weights makes you bulky, mostly for the ladies. Ladies are scared to lift weights because they're afraid they're going to turn into the Hulk, but we do not have the hormone profile to build muscle like you think you're going to, unless you're specifically training for it. If you're training for hypertrophy, which is muscle growth, which is high volume and making sure you're in a caloric surplus so that you can build muscle. So women will get lifting weights and immediately they think that they're getting bigger. Well, what's happening is the glycogen is going into your muscle from lifting weights and your muscles are filling out, but they're not getting bigger in terms of muscle growth. And so women immediately think, well, no, I can't do that. So they stick to lower weights and higher reps for toning, which is another myth we can touch on after the oh, that's the other one. My top three, definitely.
Okay, well, when you talk about the arms expand, is that just during the work? Because it feels like you do it,
yeah,
you do your work, and then it feels like, yeah, you're pumped up or whatever.
Yeah, that's
but
the
that
glycogen going
last.
In. No, that doesn't last. No, the glycogen goes in, the pump comes up, and then it tapers away as the day goes on. And that's why you see a lot of dudes at the gym on Friday doing their bar arms, so because they're going to go out later and they want to, you know, look
bar arms.
Bar arms, yeah. But that goes away. But unless you're specifically training for muscle growth, which involves high volume and a caloric surplus and lots of protein, then you will not get big and bulky, ladies.
And
I
you
swear.
Will know that you're on that journey because you want to be on that journey.
Yeah,
you've done
exactly.
Your research, right?
Exactly.
All right. Can we get to the sweat part? Because when I work out, I deliberately try to stop before the sweat starts to come.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't want to do my hair again. Whatever. I don't want to be wet. So I'm like, I'm starting to sweat. I don't like it.
So listen, sweat is a stress response to exercise or mm-hmm. to anything. So you get nervous, you sweat. You start engaging in physical activity, you sweat. It is a stress response. It doesn't mean that you are burning fat. It means that you have too many layers on. It means that you're working extra
yep.
hard. It means that you're super hydrated. It means that you could be going through perimenopause. It means a lot of things. It could mean a lot of things. But I don't want people to think that the negative thing about it is that people think that unless they're sweating, they're not having a good workout, right? So if I didn't break a sweat, then I didn't have a good workout, which is not the case. Some of my best workouts, I haven't even broke a sweat. But it doesn't mean that I didn't get a good training session and I put a penny in the bank.
So what do you attribute that to then?
What do you mean? Like
why didn't you sweat if you had a good workout?
I just wasn't either pushing myself. Maybe I was a little dehydrated that day.
Okay.
Maybe I was resting too long. Like the other thing with sweating is the higher the intensity, of course you're going to break a sweat. But everybody equates that you need to be high intensity all the time to have a good workout, and that is not the case.
You talk about being like a stress response. I thought it was a cooling system.
Right, exactly. But it is that initially when you start to sweat, that is your body reacting to the stress of the exercise or the stress, the fight or flight, right? Mm-hmm. You're putting yourself in a stressful, you know, doing some squats. Your body's like, whoa, what is this? And now I need to respond to that. But same thing in the summer. People tend to sweat more in the summer when they're working out. Well, that's because it's hotter out. The room is hotter. So we can't equate sweat to oh my goodness, I'm burning more fat, so I need to really be dripping with sweat. It's okay though. If you like to sweat and you really want to push yourself to that place and you love to be dripping in sweat, that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying, don't think that it's because you're burning more fat because of it.
But you're gonna stretch if you've been on the bike for a half an hour,
absolutely,
and you're going at a decent intensity and you ain't sweating yet, you've got a problem with sweating.
Well, some people, and this is again, this is everybody is different. I know people, I've trained people where I've put them through, you know, a really high intensity workout and they have one little bead of sweat coming down their head. That is just, everybody is built differently. Again, it comes to so many things. Your hydration. The more hydrated you are, the more you're going to sweat.
Okay.
So, and the more, if you're not hydrated, then there's no water to come out of your body, right? So everybody's different. Everybody has a different physiological response to exercise.
You'd mentioned toning was another one. So what's the myth behind toning?
If I could drop the F-bomb, I would, but I can't because...
I know where the dump button is now.
Toning, that's what we'll see mostly with the ladies that come in. They're like, I just want to tone. But muscle tone is basically, it's your muscle with a little less body fat. So you can't elongate a muscle. That's another myth. You can't, I just want to be long and lean. Well, your muscles are your muscles based on your genetics, and you cannot elongate them as much as that. They will try to market that to
elongate.
You.
Elongate. What do you mean? Meaning, elongate.
For example, Pilates really pushes that we will make you long and lean with your muscles. Well, no, your muscles are built the way they are. You cannot change the structure of your muscle, but you can appear more lean, but that's built in the kitchen. That is a nutrition thing. You can't change the structures of your muscles. But if you want to have muscle tone, you have to get muscle, right? So without muscle tone, you know, back in the 80s or 90s, they had the waif models that were really skinny.
Twiggy.
They had no muscle tone on them. But now people or women are gearing towards looking a little more muscular and they want to be more toned. Well, you have to actually lift weights to do that. And then shed body fat so you can see the muscle.
I have not just a six pack. I have an eight pack. Wait. I've just got a quilt over top of it.
It's just insulated, right?
It's just well
for
insulated.
Safety. That's
yep.
right.
Trust me, it's there.
All right. Bad exercise. That's a bad exercise.
There's no bad exercises, only bad application. And bad execution.
There's no exercises we were doing in the 70s where you're just like, we're not going to do that.
Well,
or you shouldn't be doing that.
It depends on the person. If you're going from the couch to 100 miles an hour, that's going to be a bad exercise for you no matter what you do because your body's not prepared for it. Do I look back at some exercises, like you said, in the 70s and think, it's not bad. We could do better. It's not bad because it's not hurting you. Right? As long as it's not hurting you, it's not bad. But it's all about application and execution. And the only one that I will die on the hill for is burpees. I do believe that they are a horrible exercise, and I refuse to program them.
I think they're horrible exercises, too. So thank you. I'm never going to do one again.
No,
why do you think they're horrible exercises?
Because they are a high-risk exercise, and most people hate doing them. So why would I put somebody in a situation high-risk for your wrists, for your hips, and for your back? Because especially most people that program them, I wouldn't say most people, most bad trainers that program them are putting them in to make the client tired, not better. We should be making you better, not tired.
Or as a punishment, right?
As a punishment. And we should never be viewing exercise as punishment. Mm-hmm. And burpees are just one of those exercises where if you want to do conditioning or get your heart rate up, there are safer and more effective methods to do it than doing something that you absolutely hate and will risk being injured.
Come on, sure. No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. Let's deal with that when we come back, shall we? Okay. Baby, I don't need dollar bills to have fun tonight. Baby, I don't need dollar bills to have fun tonight. This morning.
Morning with Stacey Bratzel and Daryl McIntyre on 630 CHED is brought to you by Abe's Door Service, where service is their specialty. Visit abesdoor.ca.
Kara Vajant's here for our monthly visit as we try to get in some shape, get a little help to get in some shape from SVPT Fitness. We're debunking myths today.
Myth-busting.
Myth-busters. Yeah. No pain, no gain.
There's so many of them. If you're in pain when you're exercising, please seek help.
But yeah, but I'm at a point where I don't want to do any more of these. Are you in pain? I'm like, will I be able to stop if I say yes? So I guess people, pain meaning it just doesn't feel comfortable anymore, or pain as in
sharp pain.
There's something going on.
So listen, pain versus discomfort. Exercise sometimes is not comfortable because, mm-hmm. you know, it's got to be challenging for you to see progress. But pain, I'm talking sharpshooting pain in my hip, you know, sharpshooting pain in my shoulder, or dull ache consistently as you're doing it, right? Like the exercise, if you're feeling the discomfort in your muscles, great. But if you're starting to feel sharpshooting pain in your joints, that's a no for me. That's a, you know, I'm just going to work through it. No, you're going to work through going towards an injury, and then you will be out for a while. So check your ego at the door.
So maybe the idea of it was intended to be right, where you need to be working. Yeah. You need to be puffing. You need to feel your muscles working, and it can be hard to do.
Yeah.
So instead of no pain, it's
no discomfort. No
discomfort.
Pain.
No. I don't know. I can't rhyme anything with that.
Yeah, so. I know. But you should listen. Exercise has to be challenging. Mm. I'm not saying it has to be challenging to your soul every day where you don't want to go back. We have to get to the point where you have to embrace that discomfort a little bit so you can show up every day so you can get better, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're feeling pain, no, seek help. And if you're trainer or whoever is pushing you is telling you to push through that type of pain, then you need to find someone else.
Fire the trainer.
And not just because I'm tired. I don't want to.
That's me at the gym.
It's got to be some self-discipline.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to hold yourself accountable.
All right. Fasted cardio burns fat. What does that mean?
Means
so not eating and going to the gym.
Yeah, not eating and going to the gym.
And you shouldn't do that?
There's been research going back and forth on this for over 20 years because everyone says, well, I'll do fasted cardio because I'll burn more fat. Well, the research has said and the data has said you will burn a little more fat on fasted cardio, but overall, it doesn't change anything, meaning you're going to eat after you do that fasted cardio. And if your goal is to lose body fat, it's about the overall calories within the day, within the week, within the month that will equate to your fat loss journey. So it doesn't matter. It's negligible and it's not worth it. Some people can't work out on a full stomach or eat before and then go work out. That is fine. But don't be pushing yourself to get out of bed to do exercise on an empty stomach or fasted because you think that it's doing you better. The research and the data has stated over and over again that it's negligible and it's...
And you might actually eat more because I'm hungry after a workout.
Yeah.
And if I'm already hungry going in, maybe you're eating twice as much.
Exactly. So it's not, it's just everybody thinks, and I was guilty of it too when I was a bodybuilder. We were always told to do fasted cardio before you get up. And I used to do an hour before I ate something, but it just the research and the data over the last 20 years has said it's not anything special.
Well, you don't have to sit down and have bacon and eggs and toast and hash browns and pancakes all for a soup.
But that's good.
Yeah. we can go out for breakfast after we're done. But is it not good to have something?
Exactly. Some people will go and they'll do fasted cardio and they'll get lightheaded because their blood sugar is dropped, right? So I advise clients always to have something in your stomach so that you don't get lightheaded.
Even some nuts or a hard-boiled egg or something. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of protein or something. You don't have to eat a full meal, but just to have something in your stomach so you don't have that blood sugar drop.
I've been there before, actually. Yeah. What about this one? And this one, I think I want to hear what you're going to say. The myth is you have to work out for an hour to see results.
If you only think you will work out for an hour and then you don't work out for an hour because you don't have the hour, what do you think you're going to get accomplished if you only have 20 minutes, but you do 20 minutes instead of an hour? You're still going to get results. Okay. Because 20 minutes is better than nothing. You have to get outside of your head and your boundaries of I only can do an hour or I only need to do an hour to see results. You'll see more results 20 minutes over nothing. It's about what works for your life, right?
But Is that length of time? Does a length of time of training so that you start and then you're working hard for a full hour, is it better? Is it good if you can do that?
Well, here's the deal. So say that you can allot 3 60-minute sessions a week. And of course, in those sessions, your intensity as you get in better shape has to be, as your body adapts to the stress, you have to overcome progressive overload, increase the difficulty again, so you have to adapt. But what if it's 5 30-minute sessions? It's as long as it all adds up that you're still doing the same amount of work, right? Like, and increasing the amount of work that you do as you adapt. I think we're just stuck in this whole 1 hour. It has to be 1 hour, but it doesn't. It doesn't. If you can't have the hour and you say, I'm not going to work out because I don't have an hour, and you think 20 minutes is not going to accomplish anything, you're doing yourself a disservice. Because 20 minutes is still better than nothing. 30 minutes is still better than nothing.
Is more better, but something is better than nothing.
More is not better. It depends on the exercise, obviously. As you get in better shape, you have to increase, like I said, the difficulty to adapt again. Because once you adapt, then your body stops progressing.
So an hour walk might be equivalent to a 20-minute run.
Correct. Along those lines. But again, everybody's going to be different in how they respond, right? But I don't want people to think that if you don't have an hour, then what's the point? I would rather you do 20 or 30 minutes than nothing. We have to get outside of that. I should only do an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Myth busted.
I love it. Tara Vajant in with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
that was
you for
actually
having me.
Really, there's lots of things that and, I was carrying with me.
And I would add, keep all these myths in mind as we approach January,
yes,
because
yes.
you are going to be bombarded.
We'll have you back way before then,
and,
for sure.
And, you know, now you know.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.